Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Well, what about it, mister? What is this fallout stuff? Fallout is nothing more than particles of matter in the air made radioactive by nuclear explosions. Sooner or later, however, they settle to Earth. This is fallout.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name's Tommy Dasilo, and with me, wouldn't you know it, as always.
It's Ben Vanel here. Tommy, thanks for welcoming me to the show. And joining us on the couch, as always, it's...
Adam Knox. Hey.
Nothing in the chamber, hey?
Whatever. That's the safest gun.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Maybe I'm just practicing good firing rage etiquette. Firing rage is a terrifying slip up to make.
The best one to have when there's no bullets in the gun.
Exactly. Mm. But I could club someone with this heavy ass gun that I've got on me at all times.
Apparently, guns are really heavy.
Yeah. I've never held a gun, and no. I don't intend to be honest. No. Not my plan.
I'm going to the gun range.
When?
In a month.
That's a long way out to have something like that planned. All right, well, no, have fun.
It's not actually planned, but I've a lady suggested we do it together because she's done it and she said it was fucking
well,
sick.
Well, Ben, how about we take things to the next level here?
Yeah. It was like she had like a big red mustache and a cowboy hat, but like a dress on. So
we can't go for another month because it's still duck season and that is a dangerous time. But soon...
Have you ever held a gun, Tommy?
I've been to the gun range for $1.
Right.
But weirdly not a...
Buckshot.
You say going to the gun range for $1 and it paints a picture of the buck as like a, you know... A big buck.
A big steer
to be hunted.
Yeah.
A real cunt, let's say.
Oh. Sure. Yeah.
But no, it was my friend Big Johnny.
Okay.
You guys know John.
Oh, well, case closed.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Who just wanted $1 where it was just like... Hey, let's just get a few of us in a house down the peninsula. Let's just chill. I don't want to do any of that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But going to the shooting range would be fun. It was like, okay, well, if that's the one blokesy thing that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's a bit of fun.
Yeah, okay, cool. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I don't want to do an axe throwing thing because that I feel like is more dangerous somehow.
Mm. Yeah.
It's like a gun you just point away from everyone and pull the trigger. An axe could fucking bounce off shit.
I feel like the axe is the new toxic mask kind of like
sure
activity of choice, so it's kind of like bumped the shooting range down a couple of notches.
The axe throw though is a lot more the axe throwing I've seen has been in Edinburgh and is like festival vibe and stuff, and it's a lot more general population than what I imagine a gun range to be.
Mm.
As someone who says they have no experience with it, but I've got my prejudices and I hold them close to my heart.
You've watched TV shows where they exaggerate what it's like.
I've played Cyberpunk 2077.
I have seen a lot of hens do's and work bonding.
It's part of team bonding.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mini golf and axe throwing is and it's a very we want rock stars to work here type of extracurricular activity to do.
Well, speaking of fun activities and bonding, we have our third live show for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
And we're going to strap ourselves to the chairs and you can do whatever you want with us.
Yeah.
First two have been a lot of fun. Thanks again to everyone who's been down so far. We had Melanie Bracewell last week.
Mm-hmm.
Great turnout, great show. Final one this Sunday, 3 p.m. at the Cooper's Inn, Sunday, April 21st. And
taking a few axes to the head this one.
Special guest Gatesy from Tripod.
Yes.
A Grammy nominee.
Grammy nominated, not just Grammy nominated, but Grammy nominated for music that he did for a video game.
Yes.
No less.
Most relevant guest we've ever had.
Yeah.
I'm blanking. What's the game called again? Anyway,
Stray Gods.
Stray Gods.
Yes, yes, yes.
Great. That's my research for Sunday taken care of.
He's a listener of the show.
He listens.
A big gamer as well as one who's as well as one who has worked on a game.
He's actually been texting me with an old bit of video game paraphernalia that he was going to give, that he found that he was going to give to me.
Yes.
And I have not yet made a time to get it from him. But maybe I'll see if he can bring it to the show and we can do a handoff. Because it's a pretty cool old video game relic.
Yeah, we'll
he has.
Keep it a secret for the live show attendees.
Yeah. And then we'll be taking everyone out axe throwing after the show too.
That's right.
So come on down.
Yeah.
Should be fun. Hope to see you there. And that'll be it for a bit.
Yeah.
Adam, go get some... I'm going to send you on a cord hunting expedition to see if you can get a rig ready to hook this thing up to the TV.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
In the corner of the
Knox will already have all of it at home.
Yeah.
Going into J-Car being like, now this weird bit of video game curiosity from 1992.
Whoa. This is a long cord shot, but do you guys have any HDMI cords?
It's a SNES Mini that I've hacked.
Well, speaking of old games that it's difficult to play anymore.
Oh, yeah.
There's been some rumblings in my favorite area of interest.
Mm-hmm.
Video games that they take away from you and you can't play anymore.
Oh, sure.
One of the worst things that video game companies do to their people who buy their games, there's no quicker way to say that, that Ubisoft took the crew down.
Right.
And you can't play that game at all anymore. The servers are gone and they relied on the servers. They didn't patch it to have it. It's mostly a single player game too.
Mm.
Yeah,
it was
insane.
It had other people driving around in the world with you, sort of like Forza
right.
and whatever, but the servers are gone now. But it wasn't key to that game is my understanding.
So it just will not load up at all if you have it?
Well, if you have it, if you play it, you can't get onto the server. So I think it's just sort of it'll boot and go, nah, fuck you.
Right.
But then some people had their licenses revoked for it as well. So they just don't... They had the thing they'd bought taken away from them in double, which has led to... This might be the catalyst for a change, hopefully.
Mm.
The German Pirate Party, which I don't know how influential they are.
Yeah.
But they've...
I thought they got banned about 60, 70 years ago.
They weren't pirates, but it's
you think they were the good guys then?
No, I think the pirates are the good guys.
Interesting.
Which, and again, to be clear, you're wrong.
When is International Talk Like a German Pirate Day, by the way?
It's on the 9th of...
October,
October.
Yeah. The German Pirate Party has started a thing with the EU too.
Right.
And the EU has been a big... It's one of the only bodies that seems to make a difference in consumer affairs internationally.
Yeah.
Right. They pushed the loot box stuff and all of that. All of those laws have been them.
The stuff of the Apple App Store having to open itself up a little bit more, all of that sort of thing tends to... So the reason you have to fucking deal with 1,000 broken cookie pop-ups to tell you to accept them or not, and you can't for some reason just say... Always reject them forever in whatever browser you use.
Yep.
And I don't understand why that is impossible.
That's got to be an extension for Chrome.
It should be a root, I guess, is the opposite of an extension.
Yeah.
Make it main. But hopefully this will lead to some sort of... Because it's only a modern problem because the online-only games have only existed for maybe 15 years. I mean, longer than that. But, commonly.
Yeah.
But in a way where they also rig it up so that they can... If they take the servers down, have the
just
game
block
not
you from
accessible.
It. Yeah, and then those sorts of games being popular has only been for the last 10-ish, a bit more, but you know what I mean, years. So they're only starting to come down now.
Right.
So it makes sense that this would be when that sort of movement starts happening. And I would love it if there was, you have to patch it so that people can play this offline.
Yeah.
If you're planning to take it down. That is just a... personally, I feel a pretty reasonable expectation if you're going to buy a game.
Yes.
Same with Destiny and shit, how they took a bunch of content out of that game.
Yeah.
That, to me, is removing a product that I have purchased from my home.
It seems crazy, not just from the point of view of it's fucking over the consumer, but also as someone who's created this piece of work.
Yeah.
Like you want people, you know, the whole point of like in your grandest ideas of creating something, you think, wouldn't it be cool if this kind of, if this lived forever?
Yeah.
This is like a statement that exists forever that like people in the future can engage with and enjoy and sort of see all the hard work and the passion and the creativity that's gone into it. It's crazy to spend all this time and money and man hours working on something and then go, in 3 years, this will not exist anymore.
We should be firing every piece of art we've ever made into space on a gold disc.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, show off. Go talk to Warner Brothers about it, because like that Coyote versus Acme movie didn't even get released. The Batgirl movie, like they're doing this before art gets released to the public at all,
as like, a tax dodge.
So think it, like those creators must just be like, well, fuck this. Like entire system is fucked now.
I'll take your advice. I will go talk to Warner Brothers about this. I'll climb up the water tower.
Yeah. Give them a piece of your mind.
Dot, take a hike. I'm just here to talk to Yakko and Wacko.
She's going to chuck you off the top of that thing.
This doesn't concern you. But yeah, but I hope that Coyote movie does get released. They're trying to...
I think like what happened with microtransactions, we're hitting like a critical mass of people, corporations getting away with or trying to get away with the most fucked version of it.
And that's the thing. We've had it happen a ton of times before with online games where like those ones that I will struggle to even remember the name of, but they're all names along the lines of Code Breakers or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Those types of, I forget that there was that one with the guy, the big guy with the little head. Anyway, there's been a ton of games that have been taken down and you can't play anymore. It's happened a ton.
Yeah.
A bunch of games get taken down from sale, especially ones that involve cars, because they've got licensing things.
Yeah,
like you can't buy Forza Horizon 2 or 3 anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Probably not one.
Because Multiverses is still down, isn't it?
No, that's back up again.
Oh, it's back up.
Except people were saying they think it feels slower and they don't like anymore.
So they took it down and made it worse. Good
I
stuff.
Don't know what the
I
thought
keep
was
getting
around that.
Sponsored ads for the Multiverses Happy Meal. And I was like, is this just like an old ad from like 2 years ago that's like all of a sudden
a very interesting
up in
position that you have where I keep getting ads for Multiverses. That's down, right?
Well, no, for the Happy Meal, like, because I hadn't seen anything about it coming back up. So
and to
I was
be
like,
fair, the Happy Meal was promoted before the game got put back up, and that's how people realized it was getting put back up.
Yeah, soon.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
Right. But yeah, there was like that, was it Babylon's Fall? There was a bunch of like live service games that just came and went in the past like 3 to 4 years.
The difference generally is that people don't care about them, and when people don't care about the thing that's getting taken away, like people are mad that a bunch of Doctor Who episodes from the 60s got taped over.
Yes.
They don't care that the fucking some random football game from 1963 got taped over.
But the people who liked, again, if this is the correct name, Babylon's Fall, you know, there were people playing it. So those people paid money and they expected to be able to keep playing this game.
And like Brink and all sorts of games like that where they should all be at least... Because if your product is from the start, we are providing you access to an online service. In that situation, I do understand that there is a contract that you are... purchasing a limited...
It's like subscription rather than a full ownership.
Yeah.
And like free-to-play games are a different thing.
Yeah.
And like artistic preservation, even of bad art, is important.
Mm-hmm.
And archival of human work matters. But I do get that it is a different thing. But this being like functionally kind of a single-player game for the most part.
Yeah. It's like if Dark Souls got taken down because their online servers...
Right.
Yeah.
Which kind of happened for a while.
Right.
But
the most minimal part of engaging with it that is not essential to the game. Because, in those other examples, you can sort of see the justification because, like, it costs money to have the server on, and if it just hasn't had the uptake that they hoped it would, it's like, well, it's just not worth the cost to us. But then you also see, like... Nintendo shut down their servers for, you know, Wii U games and 3DS games after like 10 years or whatever.
Right.
And then fan communities spring up and start up new servers because they're like, yeah, we don't want to move on. We just like this this iteration of the game from 3 years ago, so we're just going to keep this alive. And like it just shows you that it does just the thing of like, people get new stuff and they move on. It does continue to matter to some people.
And it like, if you don't personally care about something, absolutely fine, and you shouldn't have to, you know, worry about it. But it matters if you are making things to have a library of old work to reference as well.
Yeah.
So I hope that there's movement forward in this. I think the fact that it's Ubisoft as well has people be like, they're always doing shit.
Yeah. They're such a big company as well. There's a million other games that they could do the same thing to.
Plus, I don't know if they are for tax reasons or something, but they're probably based in France, so the EU laws will directly impact them.
Yeah.
Ubisoft also, like, put up a, I guess, pre-purchase stuff for that Star Wars Outlaws game.
Yeah.
And people are pissed off about that because it is a noticeably higher price for the Ultimate Edition things, and then it is content being immediately like, and you'll get access to this mission that we've already made and we're clearly yanking out and all that stuff. So Ubisoft are pissing people off around the board. But it just some movement in a positive way for some sort of future-proofing of games. I would be in favor of that, be they pirates or no.
Yeah. Well, look, let's not get too bogged down in the negatives of what's going on in the moment, because remember, guys, we are currently in the year of shadow.
Oh, yeah. So,
we got to...
Yeah. We got to be fighting that negativity.
It's a cause for celebration.
Yeah. I can't believe I've let myself sully the year of shadow like this. It's not in the spirit of the season. I do appreciate
that. I mean, it kind of is, but yeah, maybe that's why they're doing it.
I'm gonna shoot Ubisoft. That's what Shadow would do.
Okay.
But it wouldn't hurt anything.
Yeah, yeah.
I know so little about Shadow. I feel like I don't think I've played any game that he's in, but I feel like just by kind of looking at him and seeing the memes and stuff, I think I get it.
Yeah, he's bad guy.
And so Keanu Reeves, did they announce or did people just find out somehow?
It's, I think, leaked or heavily, like it's been reported on as if it's been announced, but I don't believe it's been officially announced yet.
Right. Keanu Reeves will be Shadow in the movie, it seems almost certain.
Yeah.
Which I think is good casting. Shadow in the game sounds a bit like Keanu Reeves, and he's the movie version of that type of voice.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey.
Whoa. Yeah. I know chili dogs now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know if Shadow likes chili dogs or if he would like the opposite of whatever chili dogs are.
Like lemon meringue pie or something.
Or like sour cats.
Ooh.
Would it, I suppose, be sour the opposite of spicy?
Yeah.
Close enough.
Well, you had two warheads, right? You had hot warheads and sour warheads.
Mm.
I don't know if that's two ends of the spectrum or two brothers.
Yeah. But Shadow is sort of like a brother to so it fits. Yeah. That's
I think it's a
casting.
Shame that with Shadow that they decided to just make him like a fully like evil dark Sonic instead of going like the warrior route and making him like a demented like fucked up psycho version of Sonic.
Well, there's a few I don't know everything there is to know about Shadow either. He
Didn't
might
you
be more like that.
Read the Sonic Bible?
I've read it, but it destroyed enough brain cells that I now no longer remember the information from it.
Okay.
Because there's also Robo Sonic, who they don't seem to
Metal
fuck
Sonic.
With anymore. Oh. Metal Sonic.
Yeah. Because there's there's like a fucked up version of Crash Bandicoot that I think is based on, there was like some Japanese company made a toy of Crash Bandicoot. It was just meant to be regular Crash Bandicoot.
Oh, and
but they messed it up and it looked all goofy, and I think that got back to Naughty Dog and they were like, what the hell is this? And so now they've put this like Demento looking version of Crash.
Hell yeah.
Like I think you can unlock him in Crash Tag Team Racing.
Was
I think
he
that's
maybe
the story.
In some of the like PS2 games that Naughty Dog didn't make as well? I have a
maybe.
Oh,
I think so.
Right.
I think they, but yeah, I think that's the story
Silly
I heard
Crash.
Was that he was, they just saw this picture of like, yeah, it was meant to be like
this
an official
toy,
and it was like, they've gotten this so wrong. But he looks kind of funny, so
one
now
of
we'll just make this alt version of him that's in the games.
Mm.
If I knew the movies better, I could do a joke about the two Crash movies, but I don't know them well enough. And I
racism
don't know
and horny car,
horny car,
so
car crash.
Horny car crash.
That's the regular Crash, is horny car crash, I would imagine.
What do you mean regular?
Standard Crash.
Like,
vanilla Crash.
Yeah.
Non-fucked up looking Crash
Normal
Bandicoot.
Crash Bandicoot.
Oh, no, I think it's the other way around. I think vanilla
you
Crash
think,
is so the Oscar,
think,
Oscar winner.
Oscar winning
but
racism
I,
no, movie.
That's the thing. If he's... Then he would be racist Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah.
Well,
which in the early game, maybe.
Yeah, but he's popular. He's like the main one. He won the Oscar. And then the,
and
then
it's
the,
also, it's anti. It's an anti-racism movie.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Like I say, I don't know anything about Crash.
And, okay. then the offshoot demented one is the Crash that's like batting off in a car accident.
But that one came out 25 years before.
Yeah, okay.
Is that what Crash is about?
Yeah.
Getting horny from car crashes?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a book. Yes. It's a Dom DeLillo, I think.
Or J.G. Ballard, I think.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. David Cronenberg movie where James Spader discovers that he gets turned on by car crashes.
God, fucking movie.
And there's a whole fucking secret cult
of people who do it.
Yeah. Right.
It's a great movie.
I've never seen it. I've read the book, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, yeah, it's awesome.
Cool.
So yeah, that Keanu is Shadow.
Keanu, yeah. Sort of the new he's kind of going Chris Pratt level, just getting just doing voices in everything.
He's got a recognizable voice that fits for a certain type of just like, I'm this character.
Yeah, true. It's not just like being generic guy and everything. He's, yeah.
I prefer him as Shadow to Chris Pratt as Mario, just conceptually.
Yeah, sure. You know what I mean? Yes, totally.
It is pretty funny the Sonic Universe movies now, you've got Keanu Reeves, Idris Elba, and
Jim Carrey.
Ben Schwartz.
Ben Schwartz, again, like a more interesting casting than Chris Pratt for Mario.
Yeah, definitely.
I think they're nailing their casting.
Speaking earlier, as we were before the Year of Shadow, before we paid our dues to the Year of Shadow.
Yes.
Speaking about games that take shit away from you, Destiny 2 did that a bunch. They're in production of Destiny 3.
Whoa,
rumors
finally.
And confirmed seeming leaks suggest it's codenamed Payback. Mm. Which is very funny considering how heavily monetized Destiny 2 is.
Yeah.
About time they gave something back.
Right, right.
It's long past time for them to fix Destiny.
Yes, it's an incomprehensible mess for anyone who hasn't been playing it.
And just technically,
10 years.
It's got so much baggage that they had to take shit out of the game to even be able to keep making it. And they clearly want it to be ongoing. So them starting again from, you would assume, a baseline of this game will last for the 20 years we think we can make it last or whatever the
right
fuck. Build it as a platform, I suppose. I don't know if anyone will care as much as they have in the past at this point. Destiny 2 clearly makes a lot of money still, but people, even who are big Destiny 2 heads, which is one of the worst conditions you can have with your head.
Yep. Yeah, it's the fate of every Tasmanian.
It's the video game illness equivalent of getting horny over car crashes.
Yeah.
There is room for Destiny to be fun, and it is fun at its core, but if they're able to make a fixed version and have that be the going thing in the future,
but
that
then
could be good, I guess.
I'm sure like they'll fix, you know, gameplay and all of that stuff and like, you know, the logic of all the systems, but they're still not going to make it like a complete game. Like they'll still release it and then they'll sell you something.
Seasons.
2 years and sell you something. Another
definitely.
Two, like that's still.
Yeah.
Absolutely. A better version of that though.
Right.
Would be an improvement.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know if they go the, I assume it would be free to play personally.
Oh yeah.
To begin with as the base, because like the base of Destiny 2 is now that, and it seems to be the thing to do if you are making a game that you want to be a going concern for a long time.
That's true. Yeah.
That is the way to kind of mitigate some of the like people cracking it about having to pay for stuff in the game of like, well, you know, it's free to start, and then if I just buy some things up to the value of $80 or whatever.
Sure,
I'm playing it a lot. I guess it's just ended up costing me what a game would cost.
As long as like it doesn't, it's not pay to win, you know, as long as there's not stuff that
people
is gated,
get mad about, like I spent $100 on this and now I've also got to buy this get this thing to unlock.
And that's one of the problems with Destiny 2 though, is that the better stuff gets so brought down in value, in gameplay value year over year, because they keep squashing the top to bring a new top for the next year of expansions.
Yeah.
And it basically functions as an MMO. You're just paying your yearly subscription by buying the expansion pack rather than paying it monthly.
Right.
A squash top would make me fucking rock hard if I was in the world of Crash. Oof. Just a full roof caved in.
Whoa.
Oh, mama.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
What a fucking dumb idea. I'm sure that you know, people must like it, but
Crash
from the outside,
people fall in love with the Eiffel Tower. But people will want to fuck anything.
That's your defense
for
when
any
you
reason.
Get found in a burning wreckage with your dick in your hand. Hey, man, there's people that are married to roller coasters, okay? Don't get mad at me.
Yeah, it's all relative. But not that. That's the one thing I don't do.
We should all watch Crash for the bonus pod.
I would love
Crash heads weigh in.
Yeah.
Sound off in the comments.
And also, which Crash?
Which Crash? Bandicoot, racism, or horny car crash.
Or horny car crash.
I don't know either. But yeah, so that's happening as well. And the other little bit of stuff I saw was that... So, okay, you remember how we talked about... I think it was Korea had rated Hollow Knight Silk Song.
Yes.
Australia.
I think we were talking about the fact that it showed up on a Microsoft...
It was that too, and it was also rated it.
Yeah.
And now, apparently, the Australian Ratings Board has also rated it. However, it doesn't necessarily mean anything, and I don't fully understand how the system works, but there is, for some reason, the Australian Ratings Board has to just... They have to rate anything that's put in front of them.
Yeah.
And so you can kind of just pretend to be a company, give them some piece of bullshit that you call Hollow Knight Silksong.
Okay.
And they have to rate it.
Oh,
and
I
there
see.
Are people who seem to think that this is what's happened there and people are just doing it to fuck with people because
that's
okay.
story
that's
about Korea rating it got...
Why would you do that?
People are crazy, man. You should go to a car crash sometime and see what's up at those places.
That seems
They're
like
fucked.
A weird loophole to be able... That's like a something from like a fairy tale.
Yeah.
It makes a very...
It's fucking Rumpelstiltskin ass stuff.
I mean, a story about a ratings board will put your kids to sleep quick, yeah. So a decent fairy tale. But
no, everyone should learn.
I'll talk about this more in a little while, but I'm Ooh. Working on a video game at the moment.
Oh yes,
and I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna fucking get these MFs to sit down and
I think you
play
need
through
to.
My
yeah,
little video game.
I think you do. What if they rate it? What's the highest rating?
Mine's R? Not gonna be B for Bonza.
It is still R for games,
right?
I think. I don't think there even is an official rating for anything over R.
Well,
like
Tommy,
the whole idea of X-rated and whatever, I think is more of a
branding. Like
here at least, maybe in America or wherever right. that exists, but I don't think we have that.
Right.
I think there's
right.
like unrated, which basically means like this is just hardcore pornography.
Right. Yeah. This was refused
this
classification.
Gone off the scale.
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
like you're at the fun fair.
Yeah.
And you're doing the strongman thing, and it's just fucking smashed the bell off and gone into the orbit.
Yeah. Yeah,
I guess it is like that.
It's people fucking in car crashes, basically.
Well, Tommy, your games, we've rated your game R. Not that one.
So it's something called that got looked at by the ratings board,
right.
But I would believe it if that was someone fucking around.
Yeah, interesting.
I'd also believe it if it's because it's about to get a release date.
I would also believe that too. Because
it's been in the works for 7 years.
There is an Indie World Showcase tomorrow. Or today, if you're listening to this on the day it's released.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, it could be announced there.
I'm sure there's a lot of comments already on the video
mm-hmm.
before it started streaming.
Oh, yeah.
Just seeing that, just logging on and seeing that like live chat ticker just, Silksong!
Silksong.
Yeah, there is. And there was one in this last week. I saw something about this and didn't look at any of the actual stuff. I didn't find my way clear to do it.
Well, it's
like
not
that sort of talk.
A triple I.
Triple I, yeah. It's not like...
Which is not us. In our accents, saying triple A.
No. It's not like presented by any of the big publishers or anything. This was a indie dev initiative.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's Evil Empire. Yes, who did the Dead Cells game originally and all those DLC spin-offs and I think some other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Although Dead Cells was very big. And
they've been making it for years. And
yeah,
years,
yeah, yeah. But they've spearheaded it. But there's a bunch of other devs in there. Megacrit, who made Slay the Spire. Thunder Lotus, who made Spiritfarer, were involved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And more. Those et al. Were involved in this, the Triple I initiative. And it was, just like a 45-minute-ish showcase with like a shit ton of stuff in there, a lot of like construction sims and roguelikes.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some big hitters, some sort of familiar names. The first of which, and I think this was like the big leading trailer for the showcase, was Slay the Spire 2.
That is the one that I have seen like independently reported on out of this,
right.
That Slay the Spire 2 is coming on Godot rather than, because when all that stuff with Unity happened.
Yes.
Last year, they were one of the big ones where they were like, well, fuck you. We're remaking the game in a different
engine.
Even
though you've walked
then.
Back shit. On it, we can't trust that you won't try and pull some shit in the future.
So right. They'd been working on Slay the Spire 2 for like 2 years at that point or something.
Yeah,
and
yeah, that makes
transitioned
sense.
It all over to a different engine.
Huh. So yeah, that got announced. No gameplay of this card game, which is a shame because, like, you know, the first one, like, the look is very unique and part of the charm, but...
big like animated anime style kind of fantasy trailer for it.
I don't remember if it had either of you played. I never played Slay the Spire.
Oh, I played heaps of it. Yeah, right. Yeah. I think I went in after Inscription.
And you love a card game.
I do. I do.
At one of our live shows, I think it was the first one.
It was.
Ben fessed up to his how many hours he'd racked up.
Oh, that's right.
Marvel Snap.
We did a higher or lower, and it was just really frightening.
Really embarrassing stuff.
If we can't tell you here, we'd have to send this podcast into the Australian ratings board because the number is that scary.
B for bonkers.
Yeah. Come to the third live show if you want to find out. You can ask. Just heckle and ask me.
Make sure you got a spare 20 minutes left aside for him to tell you the number.
Yeah.
I did I tried. I went in on Slay the Spire once. Same thing after Inscription.
Right.
And liked it, but it didn't get its hooks into me in quite the same way.
Yeah, it's a very different game. And it's more just like a turn-based combat game rather than like really about deck building, although deck building is a huge part of it. But I really enjoyed it, and I've put in a fair few
it is
hours.
One of the ones that people talk about as like having basically ruined their lives, so right. I'm sure there's a lot of pretty excited but also somewhat scared people out there thinking about the prospect of a sequel.
Yeah, and like the first one's still fantastic, like you know it's hard to get sick of a 2D card game.
That's it. Seems like the sort of thing that is kind of surprising to have a sequel because it's so, I don't know, all there in the first one. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if they've said much about it, but I'm assuming just generally when games like that get a sequel, they change it up quite a lot and it's like quite a significantly different.
It's not just new cards. It's like a kind of different mechanic.
There's been apparently like there's been a media kit sent out, and there's like some screenshots. There's like a new class because when you start the game with a certain class, it has different bonuses and drawbacks and shit like that. So and like completely different kind of combat styles. So it kind of doesn't sound like they've reinvented the wheel.
Right.
But still very curious to play it.
Any sort of release date or window or anything for it?
2025. And that'll be early access.
2025, even though
it's next
obviously
year.
Soon.
Yes.
It seems like the vastly distant future.
I know. Even 2024 doesn't kind of feel like a real year.
Yeah.
I haven't accepted that we're in it. It's the year of shadow to me.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Keen for that and keen to see that in early access. I don't know if you guys played Risk of Rain or Risk of Rain 2.
I did not.
Well, there's a free update to the second one.
Because they put out a remake of Risk of Rain 1 recently too.
Yeah, yeah. There's the free update has some Dead Cells crossover content.
Okay.
Okay.
Which may pop up again. There's a game called Dino Lords.
Okay.
Now we're talking.
All right.
Nah, it's a traditional medieval city builder and tower defense game.
Oh.
But the enemies ride around on dinosaurs.
Okay.
Okay.
So, tower defense can be fun. It's like, it feels like a genre that popped up like 10, 15 years ago and then kind of went away again.
Yeah, tower defense is cool, but not what I want from a game called Dino Lords.
Yeah.
Well, that's a real misdirect.
Could have been the better version of Exoprimal, but...
Yes. Didn't that come and go?
Yeah. Well, no one was excited for it except you.
It was a cool concept, but then the more I saw about it and found out about it, I'm like, oh, this is... Yeah, if this was like a single player thing where you're like an actual linear action game, that'd be cool. But yeah, zero interest. But I haven't heard of anyone who went in on it or got
It got very, very average reviews as well.
I never played it, but I heard from my brother.
Oh yeah,
that it's not
finally. Not How's great. He doing?
he not enjoying Exoprimal.
Oh, okay,
long lost.
That it's fine.
But separated at birth. Yeah. Long lost brother who's kind of kept it. Kind of been following you from the shadows and knows that you do a video game podcast and goes, this is the time to touch base.
Yeah.
Exoprimal's no good.
It is the year of shadows.
We're related.
Vampire Survivors is getting some more DLC.
Yes.
The big Survivor heads out there.
It's non-stop. The DLC train does not stop chopping. Yeah.
Because there's a co-op mode in it now, right? Yeah,
co-op mode.
Yeah.
There's like a little quest mode that's like not got that much to it and I didn't play much of. I've fallen a bit behind on Vampire Survivors, but at a couple of points have just done everything there is to do in that
right.
game.
Yeah, I got to reload it up on one of the, I think, three platforms that I own it on.
It's on phone, right? Have you got it on phone?
I've got it on phone, on the PC, and then I'm pretty sure at one point I got it on the Switch because it's so cheap.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I think I just felt like playing it and I was like, I can't be bothered going and picking up one of the other devices.
Hell yeah. And there's been other crossover DLC before, right? There's been like some other game.
Yeah, you're right.
I feel like I can't remember what it is because I also didn't play it.
I don't remember there being any crossover stuff. But
there's a werewolf mode. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
There's a ton of different stuff they put in there that usually amounts to maybe one more level and a couple of extra characters and whatever in there and some new achievements and weapons and whatever.
More reasons to go back and give it a thrash.
It's sick. I mean, yeah, I'm probably due for my lose a couple of days to Vampire Survivors.
Well, you could jump on this DLC when it's out, which may be now. Oh, May 9th, sorry. Right. It is Contra-themed. Operation Guns, it's called.
Oh, I saw this because they were like, we're going to do a collab with Konami. And then everyone was like, oh, of course, Castlevania. And it is pretty funny for them to go like, Contra.
Yeah.
There's an Among Us crossover as well.
Ah, right.
I played that. Yeah, you're right.
brave of you to admit. Sorry, the werewolf stuff is in this new DLC.
I see.
Werewolf with a gun.
Now we're up to speed.
That's right. So there's a... This game looked pretty interesting to me. Never Alone 2, which I've not played the first game.
I don't know what it is. What's Never Alone?
Well, I don't know. but it'll feature an original story by an Inupiat writer. Mm-hmm. I assume that's like an indigenous tribe. And we'll follow a new story with Nuna and her Arctic fox companion from the first game.
Okay.
So I think it's like it looked to me sort of like a Journey-esque game.
Right. Okay.
Very sort of mood and environmental storytelling sort of situation. It may not be that though. Write in and let us know. It's not our job to know the facts.
No, not at all.
We're comedians. Darkest Dungeon 2 is having a free game mode added, which, hey, I never played any of the Darkest Dungeon games, but that might get me involved.
I doubt it's going to be the thing. And look, I can't put money down that you won't do it now. You'll just do it and get the money.
Yes.
So I can't influence the timeline. I shouldn't step on a bug here.
No.
Or in the future, the German Pirate Party
will
be lobbying the EU.
Yeah.
PAL World Arena Mode.
Uh-oh.
So if you are still playing PAL World,
which it did seem like, and I'm surprised by this, PAL World fizzled out in terms of popular interest in it. It's probably still got a pretty hefty player base because, you know, when you start from millions,
chop
it down.
It is big enough that it is funny for them to be included in an... I know it is technically an indie, but you know what I mean? When something's that massive, it feels like, is this an indie?
Is Arena Mode like a multiplayer thing, it sounds like?
I think it'll be like Pokemon Battle.
Right.
So, cool. If you're still playing PAL World. And then the other one that's been... two more things highlighted here by Polygon. This sick-looking strategy game called Cataclysmo.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys remember Frozen... Oh, fuck.
Yeah. No, Frostpunk.
Frostpunk, thank you. So it is basically... It looks like to me...
Let it go. That's the one you're talking about, right?
Yeah. Fucking snowman guy. It looks like that, but it is on a mountaintop rather than like a snowland. So you're restricted by, that kind of environment and like little creepy crawlies are coming up out of the mist and stuff. So you're like... building a sort of tower defense sort of situation,
right?
Building up your city, cool art style, cool name, I reckon. Cataclysmo.
That was the name of my second ever comedy festival show in 2013.
Bitch, I think it had a cool name.
I called it that because it's the Latin word for douche, apparently. I don't remember if that's it as well as many other meanings, but it meant like cataclysmos with an S at the end.
Oh, sure.
Right. And it's like, it means a deluge of water and stuff. And they also used it to mean douche, apparently.
Oh, right.
But I don't assume I researched it heavily.
This little spiel says there will be magic, ancient civilizations and Lego style building, according to the developers.
Okay.
So I guess, kind of like a simplistic... city building game.
Cool.
And then finally, coming from Evil Empire, the developers of Dead Cells, it is a new Prince of Persia game.
Mm.
Prince of Persia.
This I did see.
Rogue something. it is in early access on May 14th.
What do you mean Rogue something?
It is, well, the title is like...
It's like you're a different guy to the most recent one.
Yeah.
Different protagonist.
Prince of Persia, Rogue. The Rogue, sorry.
Okay. And it's not related to this recent one at all.
Not at all. Or the Sands of Time or anything else like that. It is a roguelike action platformer. It's got a bit of Dead Cells in there as well as your Prince of Persia sort of DNA.
Right.
Looks cool. And yeah, it's out May, what did I say? May 11th or some shit. Early access.
They've been dead selling it for 6 years now or something.
Yeah.
So that is pretty crazy that they're even putting out a new thing, to be honest.
But... And yeah, it being a new Prince of Persia thing that's going to have come out, what, like 3 or 4 months after the most recent one?
Mechanically, it's weird. It's got like sort of a different art style to that most recent one, but it mechanically looks quite similar.
And
that only came out like a couple of months
ago. Or something.
Do you know what's funny is like this is my first experience, I think, kind of getting a piece of video game news from this podcast, kind of. And I've got to say, I'm frustrated by the lack of detail.
I didn't really like how the other one looked, and I don't love how this looks either. It's just a little bit like kind of new grounds. It just looks
really.
It's more like line art.
I'll be pulling over my car and Googling this one.
It looks a little, I don't know, it just looks kind of cheap. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't really understand why it exists as its own thing.
It's
when
a bizarre.
Like there's just been enough, like why it's not like a DLC mode for the, I don't know, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me.
But yes, and it's just specifically a roguelike. So like if you're into a roguelike action platformer.
In the style of Dead Cells.
Yeah. But done in the style of Prince of Persia, this is, I guess, for you. And it is differentiated from, what was it called? The Lost Crown?
In that way, which is like
a Metroidvania. So, I don't know. I'm sure it's for someone.
That it did feel fun mechanically, that last one. Controlled well and it was fun to play.
I'm willing to bet that they're sort of surprised or that this is... zero to do with the Lost Crown, and that they, have been working on this for long enough that they probably didn't either know about that other one or expect it to be coming out around the same time or whatever. Because I think this, the same as the people who made the Lost Crown, the idea of like bring back a more traditional Prince of Persia but with the modern things.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is a good idea, and I thought it worked well enough for the Lost Crown.
People loved the Lost Crown as well. I enjoyed it as well. I actually don't mind how this looks. Like, I prefer the look of it, and it is more.
Let's have a
it is more like actually cartoony. Like
and
you
it's
say.
Got right. It's got the pixel look and Dead Cells look to it.
Yeah, and the color palette is nice. Like it's kind of similar to your Rollerdromes and Sables and stuff. That sort of desert and your teals and purples.
I wonder how that works then with like. Did they get the Prince of Persia license off of Ubisoft? Does Ubisoft even own that license?
Yeah. Are they both Ubisoft licensing it from someone else?
Yeah.
Is Ubisoft publishing it, maybe? I don't know.
I doubt it, I guess, if it's in this... it as a III thing.
There was no Ubisoft logos on this. Right. Yeah, I think it's just them. May 14th, it's out in early access on Steam.
Cool.
So if you want to give it a play... it'll be out in less than a month.
This is like one of those things where you get like Deep Impact and Armageddon at the same time.
Yeah.
or two crashes that are about wildly different things.
Yeah.
25 years apart.
Yeah.
So weird. So weird that happened.
Yeah. It's such a weird name as well. Crash. How did anyone pick the name? But yeah, I don't know. I kind of... stylistically, I'm more interested in this one. But gameplay-wise, I think that just, straight up and down Metroidvania platformer is more to my taste than just a roguelike.
Mm.
I did like Dead Cells and certainly didn't play as much of it as there is.
Right.
But so I'm interested to see them do something different because, they've put so much stuff into Dead Cells now and I've not really ever gone back to that because I played enough of it to know, like, I respect this game, but I'm just not really...
it's not the one you're going to be addicted to.
Yeah.
I didn't get swept up in it for whatever reason.
You didn't put 1,800 hours into it or anything.
Well, I couldn't imagine doing so.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you once again by Manscaped. Get over there, get yourself a instrument to tidy up your instrument.
We ain't talking about baby grands here.
We're talking about skin flutes.
We certainly are. Manscaped make, and here's my big claim, good products.
Interesting.
I actually believe that and I'm brave enough to say it.
Now,
it's about time I stood up for my beliefs.
We've been extremely vague about what we're talking about. We're talking about
men's personal grooming electronic products, gadgets.
Yep.
That
tech
tidy up your hair down there or upstairs.
They got gadgets and gizmos aplenty. They got all sorts of stuff. Basically, everything you could need to like groom yourself beyond the capabilities you thought you were able to groom yourself to.
Yeah.
It's genuinely really crazy the amount of stuff they make that is actually helpful, all different sorts of products, including the Lawnmower 5.0, which is their big flagship one.
Yeah.
It's a really, really handy and effective way to keep yourself neat and tidy.
Yeah.
I recommend them as well as gifts. I think they make fantastic gifts. They've got a lot of stuff geared towards that.
They got good little gift packs that come with a nice little bag, all this kind of stuff.
Beautiful to receive. Yep. And you beautiful to receive the parts of your body that have been treated by them. Manscaped.com is the website for them, as you might have been able to guess, but I've told you directly. If you go to Manscaped and you use the code FILTHY when you're checking out with the stuff you've gotten, you get 20% off and you get free shipping. They support the show. We support them by, luckily they've got good products so we can easily recommend them.
Yeah.
And if you want to support us as well, then using that code is also helpful to us.
It really is.
That's helpful to you with that 20% off and free shipping.
Yeah. Manscaped.com, code FILTHY.
I did put a few hours though.
Yes.
Then there's only so many hours you can put into this. They put it all out at once. The television show by the name of Fallout.
Now, I've seen some pushback against the binge mode of the, over the past sort of week or so, specifically with this show.
Yeah.
Which I think I agree with. I like, and I know, Nox, you're a big binge watcher and you like to sort of know that it's all going to be there for you to get the full experience.
I like
you want
the option.
Yeah.
I like having the option. But for whatever reason, with this one, okay. This is a sort of different topic to talk about even before the context of this show. I think the reason that this show might have been better week to week is that... So we're going to talk about Fallout here.
Yeah.
I think I'm doing this as neatly as possible. Yeah,
we're going to talk about the TV show Fallout.
Only the first three episodes is all we'll talk about so as not to spoil things beyond that.
However, it is all out.
And a lot of people have already polished it all off. There's only eight episodes.
Yeah, short season.
And... tonally, I'm not enjoying watching it too close to one another.
Right.
It's a very violent show and it's doing a good job of like having that sort of Fallout style in a TV show. But there's something about this in particular where I would have liked it spaced out a bit more too and have the choice to do that. But maybe it's because looking at it through the lens of like we talked about The Last of Us week to week last year.
I can see why they did it. Like I've seen a lot of things of like because Prime, it's on Amazon Prime. They are very big on they release things week to week. And I saw a big thing of like, why have they gone against that? And it's like, well, that's an easy answer because it's like it's all of a sudden it's something different for them.
Right.
So like and I guess maybe they did want to. You know, people were so wrapped up in the week-to-week of Last to Us. That was kind of like the last big TV series video game adaptation, I guess. Like, maybe they wanted to just, like, free themselves of the pressure of, like... I don't know. I kind of like that they dropped it all at once for this show. It kind of feels right. But I do agree with you. Like, it's definitely not something where I'm getting to the end of an episode and being like... oh, I have to load up the next one.
Yeah.
Because they're also quite long episodes too. Like the first one is like an hour and 15. Like
yeah, it's
kind
of all over an hour.
Yeah.
And then all of them are made very much as an episode. It's not like this is made as like a film that's broken up into sections or like very mini series style where, you know, you get those ones where it does feel like it's a long movie. This feels like a TV show. Anyway, that all aside, I suppose... speaking only again to the first three episodes.
Yes.
And we'll only...
But we will spoil them, I guess.
I think we should talk about...
I mean, we don't have to.
A little bit.
Yeah.
We won't go crazy.
We'll be vague.
But
because
I assume that our listeners are probably more likely to have watched more than that than we have.
If you haven't had the time yet, though, we won't go heavy spoiler stuff because, A, I don't think there's a ton that it's worth heavily spoiling in those first few episodes to go into. But, B, I think we're all, like, enjoying it.
Yeah, I think I'm sort of still holding my... I'm reserving my judgment. But I really enjoyed the first episode. Hey, let's start at the beginning with the episode.
That's crazy.
The episode called The End. I love the cold open. It opens with
cold open's great.
The pre-bombs stuff with the Gog, who absolutely I think is like
the Gog being Walton Goggins.
Yes, yeah. It's not a kind of mutant character or anything.
There was like some like panel event about the show the other day, like at some I don't know festival or something, and it was like a bunch of the people, like the creative team, and then the Gog zooming in from where? Phuket. Why Phuket? Because he's over there right now filming the White Lotus.
Oh, yes.
But he put a thing of it on his Instagram.
Was he on a dirt bike?
he's on this massive screen behind them. It's just this very funny visual that's taken from like the back of the room of these tiny little people. And then this gigantic Mario 64 style head just floating behind them on the screen.
Fucking Big Brother style.
Yeah, but the Gog really on one at the moment.
Yeah. Because
people are loving the show. People are loving him in it. You know, he's filming White Lotus right now. But yeah, him as the cowboy.
Yeah.
He's a ghoul.
He's a ghoul after the bombs drop, yes. Yeah.
But this the shot of like the bombs going off and then him kind of riding off on his horse. I thought that looked great, especially for a TV show. I know that like the lines are very, you know, blurred in the modern age of
and
streaming.
Amazon got that money.
Yeah.
And I think they put it to good use. Like
I think so.
I think Knox, you and I definitely watched some of the Rings of Power.
I did not like that show even one bit.
Yeah.
But The Boys, this is the most similar to.
Yeah.
Like, this is very similar to The Boys in a lot of ways.
Yeah. People kind of felt like, there was so much.
Which looks great.
There were so many stories about like how much money they were spending on that Lord of the Rings
it
show.
It looked like
And then it looked
shit.
Like shit and it was like impossible to see where the money had gone. And this it's
they
like,
spent $1 billion on that show.
But this, including I think, marketing and all of that, I believe.
A billion!
It's a ton of money.
For something that has just been, I think, kind of forgotten. Like,
yeah.
But this you can kind of see, like it looks really good.
It does. I love that opening shot. The creatures and stuff that are involved.
Yeah.
Because they're obviously using a lot of practical stuff as well, like some costumes and some like the armor for the fucking Brotherhood of Steel guy. Is clearly practical, but I think there's some enhancements done with CGI that's quite subtle. I agree. I think that visually it doesn't look as cheap as some stuff that they produced before.
I saw a thing of the Gog talking about how they filmed
I don't know why. I hate calling him the Gog.
Well, you don't have to.
Yeah.
You just have to listen to
I
us do it.
I hate hearing anyone else call him the Gog.
Yeah.
There's something about the Gog that's really making me want to flip out and start throwing chairs.
I was going to say initially.
Which I think is a fair reaction.
Yeah. The Gog is, I think if a different casting in that role, this show probably is not interesting to me. Even like having watched it, if there was anyone else doing that role, I think I'd be giving this a pass because I think he's fantastic.
He's great. I'm the same. I love him. I think if not for this pod, I still wouldn't have been watching this.
Yeah,
quite honestly. But But anyway, I read it. I saw something of him talking about. I think they filmed it in Namibia, so it's like it's very like. You know, shot on location, like not just going like, dump a bunch of sand on a soundstage and then do a green screen. Like it does all look very believable, wasteland kind of stuff.
The show itself is set in California.
Yeah.
Post the bombs and everything in the Fallout world, which is very established visually from the games. Particularly 4 is the one that they've gotten closest to the style of with this. And it does look like there's a sort of a main town that they get to early on that really looks like you are walking around a set version of something that would be from a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not in a cheesy way. Like the show is sort of cheesy in a deliberate tone way, but it looks like it fits into the pre-established Fallout world. All of the vault stuff looks just like a real life adaptation of a game. It's the best version of that where it doesn't make it look like tacky or plasticky or like kind of cheap in any
way. People playing dress-ups or whatever.
Right.
No, it for the most part makes it look like this strange, you know, fantastical world and whatever, but done in a really
high quality way. Like what the premise and the setup is. Bombs have gone off.
You must have been living under a bloody rock behind a vault door.
What have you been in a vault?
But, yes.
Yeah, bombs have gone off and then We jump forward into the future.
Yeah.
People have been living underground. The lucky ones have been living underground.
Yes.
Well, are they so lucky, though? Whoa. Perhaps the show will ask us that question.
We follow, this young girl played by Ella Purnell, who was in Yellow Jackets.
And I think she's doing a great job.
She's great. Great in this. Big eyes.
Really big eyes. Like anime. Like, did you ever see Battle Angel Alita?
No.
They made a robot girl in CGI and her eyes were as big as an anime character's. She reminds me of her.
Like, very good casting, and she's great at this role because she's playing this naive, literally wide-eyed person from a vault, which we know from the lore of the games, the vaults were all set up by, to be these sort of other things that I suppose the show hasn't really gone into yet. But one of the through lines of the show is that vault reacting to the thing that happens in the first episode, which is raiders show up.
Yeah, then they're exposed to the real world a bit.
Her dad gets taken. He's the overseer. She leaves on her own to go and find her dad. So she's being what would be the player character in a game.
Sure. And that is literally sort of the vague storyline of, I think, Fallout 3?
Finding your dad? You're going to look for Liam Neeson as your dad.
Yeah, yeah.
So she is like this very naive. This vault has this sort of locked off culture of like, well, one day we're going to repopulate America. Yeah. Hi ho.
With the values that we've learned to be good, honest, moral people.
Which then they've got these sort of strange ones where like, their view of sex is weird because they've always thought of sex as like, yeah, we've got to repopulate one day.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, it does all of that stuff, and the way it reveals it over the series or like explores it over the series is done really well, I thought. So she's off to be, you know, partly a viewer character being like, what's this weird stuff? I don't get it. But also, she has separate weird stuff and the vault has separate weird stuff.
Yep.
So there's your sort of one and two is the vault and then her. Out of there, you've got Walton Goggins playing this ghoul, who is like kind of this, what do you call him, like a mercenary type guy.
He's a bounty hunter.
He's a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
A ghoul is like a radiated person who he looks fucking disgusting and cool.
Yep.
He's got maybe the most interesting character, like you guys said, because he is directly tied into the past. He's 200 whatever years old now.
And we're getting some flashbacks of him doing stuff back in the day. He was like a famous...
He was an actor.
He was a famous, in a Western series. And the cold open at the start of Ep 1 is like he's doing an appearance at a kid's birthday party. And it's very like, boy, I can't believe the great man's lowering himself to this.
So you've got your naive character who's maybe a little bit overly optimistic or whatever, or a little and naive. Versus your jaded character, and they work well with each other. And then you've got your third character, who's a mixture of kind of both naive and jaded a little bit, who's this guy, Maximus, who has his own reasons for being cloistered and fucked up. He's part of the Brotherhood of Steel, and he's also exploring this world. But you've got like a bunch of people with those two main characters, Maximus and Lucy, being like, well, what's going on here and learning about stuff. And then Walton Goggins, maybe he'll have a thing or two to learn from their perspectives as
But yeah, the Maximus guy, he's
cool.
He's a squire for a guy in a big mech suit.
Yeah, it's basically that medieval sort of like system of like, hey, we got the knights. Everyone respect the knights. We've got our little people who aren't even squires yet. They want to be squires.
Training to be squires.
Yep.
He takes over the mech suit and then he gets his own squire played by comedian Johnny Pemberton.
Yeah.
It's very funny
to
see.
He's doing a good job.
Him showing up. And he's really, everyone's really good in it.
I was kind of like, I think I don't love the actor playing Maximus, but I also think he wasn't given maybe the best dialogue and stuff in that first episode.
To start with, he's doing a lot of just like,
guys, come on.
The Brotherhood of Steel, too, in the games as well, is the most like weird group of like religious zealots, basically.
Yes.
And so they're very like, I think he's doing that stuff well, where like it's quite stilted odd anyway.
Then
he's got to come out of that literal shell. But
then once that twist of the, well, not twist, but once the turn happens where he takes on the armor, he's got to pretend to be this big experienced knight, and he gets given this squire who he knows from the base and
used to bully him
and
once they sort of start discussing that their history with the Squire not knowing who he's speaking to becomes very interesting, and I think that turn in the character is going to, yeah, be, I think, engage me a bit more than that very tropey intro that he has.
So I've watched a bit further, and like, not to, again, only early stuff to be referenced, but I think the overall thing that is doing a good job of having all of their setups pay off for things. And so all the characters start interacting because they've got this sort of MacGuffin to all chase.
That's in Ep 2, printout of, here's this guy who we're looking for. There's a little illustration of him.
We get his sort of little bit of his past and setup.
But he's
as well.
Like a bit of a mystery of like, he's got something with, he's got some sort of thing that whatever government-ish type, like a big group wants.
There's like a kind of like illustrated sketch, almost like police composite sketch of him that you see, that several people have sent a screenshot to me and said, is this you?
It's just
a little dork with glasses.
Yeah. That guy was in Lost. Not a huge fan of him. I feel like the second episode was the roughest one for me, where I thought there was a bit of overacting and there was a bit of just like, oh, here's the next thing, here's the next thing, here's the next thing. It's all plot and it's all being sort of like very exaggerated.
A lot of it's pretty drawn out so far, I have to say.
But just a lot of, just a lot of things happening as opposed to like real character stuff. But then, so he's introduced. He starts to get chased by everyone. People cross over. All three of our characters cross over at this one point, then sort of disperse again a little bit. But then the third episode, I feel like, gets back into like road trip story stuff with sort of these two different sort of forking storylines.
And I suppose, these fucking storylines. I think that, as much as I said it doesn't feel like a movie and whatever, it feels like separate TV shows, it is also all built towards being furthered. So like that feeling, I think, maybe is an early thing. And I also just didn't have that same feeling about it early. Like, I've thought that they're all doing pretty good stuff with their characters. There's clearly more going on with them right from the start than they're like showing you. So I guess I felt a bit more of that. And then I think it's doing such a good job of living in and establishing through example and showing of this world that I'm trying to watch it from the perspective of someone who wouldn't have played any Fallout games. And I think it's pretty clearly drawn and accessible, and like the quirkiness and weirdness of that Fallout version of Apocalypse Future is delivered in there.
What I've seen of the Fallout games, like, I haven't liked, like, the that tone and like the music and the look and the, like, the quirkiness, I find really grating when I've seen it in action in the games. But it's working. I'm enjoying it in this more than I do in what I've seen of the games. So I can definitely speak to like coming to it with not only not just zero attachment to the games, but a bit of a dislike for them, and like, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I kind of wish, the one thing that I'm sort of is grating on me is the overuse of the music, which it's like, that is the game and that is absolutely the atmosphere. And I think it's probably suffered due to the fact that I've watched like three episodes in a row where it's like,
it's also a lot of the choices of songs. They're a little bit like Scorsese always using the same, you know, it's like a lot of songs
that are
like specific
from the games.
Yeah, just stuff that you've seen in a lot of other stuff at this point of that era.
So, yeah.
And I think it's all more like the method of employment of the songs. Like, it's especially, I feel like it was because I watched episode 1 and 2 that the second one suffered, because it's like character looking around doing something kind of nondescript or, you know, benign, and there's like a fun upbeat song playing and then something bad happens and then the song stops. And that happened like 8 times. After like a little while, it was like, it just loses that impact and it loses the sort of fun that those needle drops are meant to have.
It is a little too like, I guess the people in the vaults right there, that's what they're consuming. That's what they're listening to.
Well, music stopped getting made in Fallout. It's like 2077 or something is when the bombs drop, but it's the 50s sort of. So
yeah,
like,
which is, that is, I'd never thought about that of like, why is it still 50s stuff if they went through to the culture of the 2070s?
That's all from like the I don't know what the like reasoning for that is, but they just set it in the future and it was like, there is something where it's like the, it's like a 1984 thing. The American government got way more controlling and tried to like actually manufacture that 50s
that makes
aesthetic
sense,
of thing. Right. It's something like that.
That makes sense.
Again, that's not been introduced in the show, so there's no reason to think that. But they've got it like, I haven't found it anywhere near as grating as it sounds like you guys have, where like, partly because the first time I ever saw the thing of happy music over scary thing is from Fallout 1.
Right, right.
Like in my personal life. It's using that exact same music, the like, maybe that song and the I Don't Want to Set the World on Fire from 3 are the songs it's using. Or it's used those ones. I haven't noticed it be like 8 times.
Yeah, I haven't really found it grating. It's more, it is just that thing of like, something, a song comes up that you feel like you've seen used very similarly in a fair bit of other media, and it just doesn't, it just kind of lessens the impact of it, of like being a sort of like cool moment of juxtaposition if it's like, oh, this Johnny Cash song that gets used a lot
so
in
Maximus
stuff now.
Is getting the Johnny Cash songs, like they've kept that for the Brotherhood for some reason, I think has been the thing.
Yeah.
And then like the Fallout songs are being played over Lucy, who is the character from Fallout. So I think the fact that I associate this stuff more heavily with Fallout rather than it with
it popping
else
up in other stuff.
It totally fits, but also is extremely noticeable because the thing I'm having is like, oh, but that's like the song I consider to be the Fallout song, so I had to save that for a bigger moment or whatever.
It's a bit of like, having seen it in the games, it's like, yeah, I already saw some media that used it well, so this is like a poor facsimile of that. When there's like so many songs of that sort of feel and type and genre, and you know, like they could have dug up some new ones that we hadn't heard.
Yeah, because also we should say, if you weren't aware, this isn't like an adaptation of any storyline from the games. This is like, I think they've said this is canonical within it, but it's not like a Last of Us where it is like basically like one for one. So if you've played the game, you are seeing how they've adapted this. It's like
weird,
but this is all new scenarios for this, obviously within the framework that already exists.
Yeah, I don't recall New Vegas well enough to know this myself, but I've seen people say that it sort of makes New Vegas not make sense.
Okay. Oh, right.
Because like the NCR, the New California Republic, were like the big thing there. And it's like the Brotherhood of Steel, all of the people in the Brotherhood of Steel have like Roman names, which isn't a Brotherhood of Steel thing, but there was like a weird Roman faction.
Caesar's
in New
Legion,
Vegas.
Yes.
They think maybe the Brotherhood of Steel came in, took over Caesar's Legion.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like, but I don't know if any of that stuff is included in the show yet.
Yeah, right.
There is also a already confirmed season 2 that they are going forward to. But so all of that stuff hasn't really, bothered me, because weirdly I've had the thing of like, I'm not the world's biggest Fallout fan, but this is such a good adaptation of that.
Yeah.
And like is done as like, let's make a thing that is a show that works in tandem with the games.
Mm.
And are doing that so well that like I've just been enjoying it. So many like well done nods to it, I feel like, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like lines that haven't come across as too cheesy to me, where like Walton Goggins, what's that character's actual fucking name? I think they just call him the Ghoul.
No, he's just called the Ghoul. On IMDb, he's just listed as the Ghoul.
Oh, right.
I think they're just, something goes wrong, they got to go somewhere else. She's like, well, why aren't we staying here and doing this? He's like, oh, there's always some bullshit that comes off that gets you sidetracked. A little joke about side quests.
Yeah.
They got all the bobbleheads that I've fucking got one of.
Yeah.
They're selling them in the show. I can't remember any other little bits and pieces, but I think if you're a big Fallout head.
Oh, he does the big thumbs up pose.
They're doing the thumbs ups, and it's just within the Fallout world too. So
it's a good show.
I
think they've done that.
I think the adaptation is done really well.
I would never have picked this from it being announced that it would be you know, yeah, up there with a not quite to the level of Last of Us, but certainly in that realm of like good show. Seems like people who are into the games are really into it. It also works as like a you don't need to have it. You know, it's not just doing the Easter eggy stuff. It is just like a good, interesting world to have set a series in.
I think it's in like it's almost the opposite of The Last of Us in a way, where The Last of Us was a great show based on a video game made from the perspective of someone who didn't give a fuck that it was a video game almost, wanted to just make a good show.
Yeah. Yep.
And this is someone who this comes across a lot more as someone who's a massive fan of the video games and wanted to make a TV version of the game.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it is a lot of like, now I'm going here, now I'm going around. You know, it is like, you definitely can see the DNA of it being a game, whereas like Last of Us had, you know, it really stuck out where there were those action sequences because there weren't that many of them in the show.
The little side characters who are, they're meeting along the way feel like they are, would have been come up with to be random people you meet. Like the chicken guy is such a joke character on the side of the road in a Fallout game.
John Daly.
Yes. So many comedians in this. Yeah. It's very good.
It's working for me. Like I agree. If I were to be more analytical about it, which for whatever reason, this show just didn't trigger that in me, you're probably right about some of that stuff, but the show is being done well enough for the type of thing that it is that I'm like completely getting the fucking things are coming down on the roller coaster and I'm getting locked in and someone's yelling from the side like, you know, roller coasters have done that before. I'm like, bitch, I'm about to loop-de-loop. I'm not finding myself caring.
You know what I just realized? John Daly has been on an episode of the Little Dum Dum Club. So I'm 1 degree from the GOG.
Whoa. Shit, maybe you could be in Fallout season 2. That's what leap I'm making.
Weren't you already in season one? I thought I saw a drawing of you.
I don't know. I think as a fan of the games, the adaptation stuff is the best stuff in it.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think Walton Goggins is like basically carrying the show for me as like a just watching it as a, you know, a dark comedy week to week or episode to episode, I guess. And I do feel like if I was watching this week to week, it'd be less cloying, you know, I'd be like, I'd have a break from that style and aesthetic and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And come to it and be like, oh, that's right, Fallout, 50s music, all of this stuff.
That's the thing I was sort of trying to say at the start of like, yeah, it all being so tonally similar episode to episode, I think it's kind of tiresome to watch it all in one go.
Yeah.
Because it's packing a lot of the same sort of violence. It's so violent.
It's
off-puttingly violent.
In a real like 80s kind of like, you know, RoboCop R-rated action movie kind
comedy
of way.
Violence,
like really like
super
people's
gory.
Heads getting exploded and stuff like that.
Yeah, that stuff I like as a point of difference, I guess, or maybe more of a callback or a throwback. Because you don't really like The Boys has some like comical violence in it.
It's very similar to The Boys that stuff. And it's obviously
similar
the games
to Fallout.
I think it works here. Like, yeah, it's very full on and I'm finding it.
If there was a weird noise, I dropped my microphone on my chest.
Too scared.
I freaked
thinking about
myself
violence.
The fuck out doing it.
I saw someone in, I think, our Discord saying that they found it, that they were like, you know, kind of surprised by how taken aback they were by the violence and were like, oh, I'm getting older. Like this sort of stuff never used to really bother me.
I feel similarly.
But I do agree, but it feels like it kind of works for this. Like it makes sense for this show. It doesn't feel like it's just gratuitously in there. Like they've just gone, oh, let's make this really violent.
No,
I agree with that. And to be clear, if this isn't like a moral or creative, it's a purely physical reaction to it, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's because, you know, it's like you think about stuff like Mad Max and things like that where they're, I guess, maybe more able to sort of convey the harshness of the world in a film with maybe a bit more scope and a bit more freedom or whatever. Whereas, and you know, like Fury Road, it's like all the action and all of that stuff is so over the top.
And
this is like the TV show version of something being over the top.
And they're not playing it for comedy in Mad Max, whereas they are in this, and so it needs to be exaggerated like that.
Yeah, that's true. Very good point.
For it to work how it does.
Yeah.
Production design-wise, incredible. That's my favorite thing about this show so far. Those I just think it's so good looking.
Those vault suits could have looked so tacky and shit. And they just all look cool.
They're all riding this weird line where they're doing like, it's like doing a real life version of a cartoon because like, with computer graphics and I think they fucking nailed that stuff.
Yeah, it really could have looked like cosplay and it just looks like a real cohesive world that is
real impressive.
Really cool.
Yeah,
so if you're a fan of the games, I think, hey, they probably give you a free month subscription pretty easily to Prime Video and you can knock this out quite quick.
Yeah, true.
So I think there's no reason not to watch it because it's pretty well done. If you're on the fence because, you know, video game adaptation.
Yeah, or not liking Amazon. It is worth jumping on for a month.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who've been watching it with no attachment to the games and enjoying it. So,
same, yeah.
Worth good a show. Crack.
Yeah.
Speaking of good shows, is that us having done another one for another week?
I mean, yeah, we've got some games we could talk about, but we could also just hold them off for next week.
The thing I was going to talk about, I wouldn't mind playing a bit more of.
Okay.
I only started it last night.
Well, let's give a tease.
Get a bit deeper in.
Next week, we might have a little chat about. I'm going to have a bit more of a play of Dragon's Dogma 2.
Mm-hmm.
The Capcom release.
I want to get back to that too. After digging up my long lost brother, I can get that PS5 back because he finished Rebirth.
And Tommy, next week.
I'm going to talk a little bit more about Chibi Robo Park Patrol.
Hell yeah. But yeah, that'll do us for this week.
Come down to the Cooper's Inn this Sunday, 3 p.m., final live show. Gatesy from Tripod is our guest.
That's it.
They've been a lot of fun so far. Get on to our Patreon. You get a bonus show every week where we talk about movies and TV shows.
Yeah.
As opposed to on this show where we don't do that.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've all watched all of Curb Your Enthusiasm now, so we'll have a bit of a chat about this that on this week's bonus episode. Mm-hmm.
Got the YouTube channel, all that kind of stuff. Filthycasuals.com.au.
Content warning.
Yeah.
We've gone in on the game content warning. I'm not warning anyone about the content, but you can watch us play a little session of co-op viral video making game.
Yeah.
Content
fun game.
Content warning, yeah.
Check that out. That's just gone up in the last week. Mm-hmm. Guys, thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
You know how they say you can hold up your thumb in front of the mushroom cloud and if it's smaller than your thumb, then you're safe?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Tommy, this is you in front of a mushroom cloud. Quick, I better hold up my dick in front of the mushroom cloud. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got ourselves a fantastic small dick joke.
Yes!
Thank you, everybody.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.